Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about right to life today. Do you feel that as individuals we have the right to live, whether in the womb or in a position of age, that we cannot help ourselves? We're talking with Susanna Lynn today about that very subject. Susanna, I believe you have been promoting your new song, pro-life single that you have written and that you sing, I'm Alive. Would you set that up for us so that our listeners will recognize the words and why you're singing? Tell us something about the song, then we want to listen to it.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Well, it was 2016. I was listening to Hillary Clinton giving on the presidential debate, trying to justify abortion up to the moment of birth, you know, under the guise of protecting the mother's life. And I fell to my knees. I literally fell to my knees and was crying. And I prayed for God to direct me. I said, please let me do whatever you want me to do. I'll protest. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just please direct me. I had no idea, because I was a Christian songwriter. I had never written anything about pro-life. And immediately that night, God gave me the lyrics and the music at the same time, and I wrote that song. And what he has done with it is just remarkable, because my producer in Nashville, you know, we went and pressed a lot of these CDs, and we talked about what to do with it. And we started with the local. He said, let's start with the local pro-life centers, and so I did that. And very shortly after, when I was distributing to the pro-life center here, actually in Fort Walton Beach, I got a call from the director, and she said, all right, one woman who heard the song, she cried, she canceled her abortion, because these are women who come in desperate. They have probably already scheduled the abortion, but they're having second thoughts and they need advice, and they don't get that at Planned Parenthood. So she said she canceled her abortion. And the second story she called me about very shortly after was a woman who was married with 5 children and her husband, and she had, you know, decided to get an abortion and said, we can't afford another baby. That was their reasoning. And when she came into the clinic, a pregnancy center, she listened to the song and said, I don't want to have an abortion. I want to cancel, but my husband will never come in here. And so the center sent her home with a CD. She had her husband listen, and she said he broke down in tears, and they canceled the abortion. And I'll tell you, Dr. Youngblood, I cried. I was so overwhelmed that God would use this song for that purpose. So I already knew of 2 lives that were changed. And actually, it was the parents as well. You know, their lives were changed forever. So that was the impetus that started me on this journey. And I started going to legislation, and I've had a lot of support from pro-life legislators. I'm trying to continue with the pro-life. I started sending them nationally, just sending them out and seeing what God would do. So the important thing to remember is where it started. And, you know, like it says in Scripture, what the evil one intends for harm, God will turn around and use for good, for his glory. Yes. And he did that. The speech that Hillary Clinton was trying to spew with lies about the mother's health, which I'd like to make one note, Dr. Youngblood. That simply is undeniably untrue.
That's correct.
There's a doctor, Dr. William Lyle in Pensacola, and I went to his seminar and I listened to him. And there are multitudes of doctors who have come forth with the same knowledge, and this is irrefutable, that there has never been a case where a baby had to be killed for the mother's life.
That's
to
correct.
Save the mother's life. This is an evil guise. It's not nowhere near the truth. And I think that a lot of people believe this, the lies that they spell, but a lot of people also don't believe it, but they're lying to themselves. And they have to take that veil and get rid of it and just look at the truth. The truth will set you free. And they can just have a change of heart. And I'm praying that this song, you know, does that. And I've been getting great feedback. God is so good. He's put so many people in the path of I run into them just when I need that encouragement, because I get a lot of discord from the opposite, from the Planned Parenthood group and from other groups. And it's amazing. Even PETA women, they've gotten against me. They will protect the life of animals, but they
That's the way the enemy works. Yes. Susanna, let's let our audience listen to your song, and then we'll come back. We've got two or three on hold to ask questions and join in the dialogue today.
Okay, but, thank you.
Let's listen to the song.
I am quiet. I cannot speak. I am small. So very weak, but I want to breathe. I'd like to sing a song and have the chance to grow up big and strong. A mistake, or do I have worth? For some will say I'm no concern. In just a moment now I can be gone. They whisper, soon you can go home alone. I am alive, I am alive. Speak for me, shout for me. I am alive, I am alive. Stand for me, pray for me. Mama, hear me. Daddy, please rescue me. Rescue me. Am I safe? Am I secure? Because I feel you are unsure. Our hearts are beating now in perfect time. My heart with yours, your heart with mine.
Woman's choice, a man can fight and have a voice. They all will march in perfect time. They all have rights.
Where are mine? I am alive. I am alive. Speak for me. Shout for me. Rescue me.
Susanna, I believe God will use that powerfully. You can't be any more clear in the message of the song than you are with that. We have some callers on the line. I believe Jose is on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Hey, I just got a question. Since when was the breaking point for the millions of moral pro-life people to step aside? They fled from the educational system. They fled from colleges. They fled from universities. That's why we see this nonsense, wicked, and evil indoctrination and brainwashing everywhere. So I just wonder, you know, what was why scare them? Because there's millions of us in this country. I'm a Hispanic, you know what I mean? And my community is 98% pro-life. But I don't hear that message loud and clear. You know what I mean? And it's what the liberals want to say and how they want to drive the agenda. Where is our voice to be heard nationwide? My question again is, what was the deciding point to scare all the moral people in this nation to be so timid? Look at the college and university. You got a small percentage of conservatives speaking out. Can you explain, give me an idea what happened? Because this is what's going on. We got thousands and thousands of people being brainwashed daily in this nation, and nobody seems to do anything to stop this nonsense. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jose, for your call. Susanna, would you like to answer the question or join in the discussion as he has asked the question? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I had a little difficulty hearing the call since I'm being patched in remotely, but I think he was saying, where are the people who are being bold on the campuses?
Yes, that's the question.
And, well, their voices are being squelched out and censored, because when they do try to demonstrate on campuses, I've seen so many videos where their displays are destroyed. They are shamed, and the administrations will actually block them as having hate speech. And as Senator Ted Cruz actually showed, Mother Teresa has been banned from Facebook. Many of the posts about Mother Teresa and the kind things she has said, her beautiful statements, have been sequestered from there. So I think that this is part of a larger agenda. I do believe there is an agenda that is driven by evil, to get people, as a plan that was enacted many decades ago, in the United States anyway, it's been since the time began, but in the United States, to get a hold of the education system, and they have decided how many generations it will actually take to destroy the moral fiber of the young people coming up so that they can take control and they can call the shots. They become God. There are the elites who really do want to run things, run you, run me, and how things are, instead of looking to God. It always comes down to good and evil, I believe. And so people Absolutely. Do try to speak on campuses, and they are censored, believe me. The universities are very liberal. They've become very liberal, and they're getting bolder in their liberal. Almost, it's an arrogance at this point where they don't care. Political officials are getting very, they don't care how they will talk about not just aborting up to the day.
The bottom line is, and for the benefit of all of our listeners, the bottom line is that the university system, the colleges and universities have been taken over by the socialist Marxists, and they believe in freedom of speech as long as it's their speech. But anything that's antithetical to their speech is being canceled today, sequestered today, as you said. Mm-hmm. And just the latest is the attempt by all of the social media to absolutely cancel anything that's called free speech. Our First Amendment rights, the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, are being sequestered, being taken away, canceled, eviscerated as we speak. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. Back in my 20s, I thought of abortion as a nebulous idea that wasn't really a person, just a blob of tissue. But when I saw all the actual methods of actual killing of actual babies, it was revolting and gruesome to me. Abortion is a shocking disregard for God and human decency. It's a violation of one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. But I do want to say, for the millions of women who have done it, God stands ready to forgive and forget our sins if we humbly seek him. And that was my opinion.
Yes, thank you, Joseph, for that insight. Susanna, I believe you can address that.
Yes.
You have many times, as have others, you've had the critics that accuse you of being against the woman's having a choice. How do you respond to those issues, and how do you respond to those that have had abortion? How do you view them? How should we view them?
Those are great questions, absolutely. Well, those that have had abortions, there is no sin too great for God to forgive. Abortion is a sin, but we have all sinned, and God forgives those who come humbly before him, just as Joseph said. So it's not my place to judge anyone, and my heart is open. I love the mother. I love the child. And that's important that we keep that in mind. As for someone having choices, that leads me to ask, what does pro-choice really mean? Pro-choice, in the sense of the abortion groups, includes only choices for the pregnant mother. They do not include choices for the baby, and that we have to always keep in mind. We have to say there are other choices. I am not against women having choices. They have them. So once there's a baby conceived, the mother can choose to have the child and raise it. She can choose to have the child and adopt it out for a couple who cannot have a baby. But I think that murder of an innocent life should not be on the list of choices. And many people will say to me, well, what, are you going to raise all these children? Or, oh, the foster homes are overflowing, or this child will have a horrible life. Again, these are shocking solutions to a child having a terrible life or a woman being unable to support her baby. Murder should be taken off the list of choices. That's what we need to do. We need to put that away, not just table it. It's gone. And so nothing is ever could ever justify murder of an innocent life. And I tell those people that I believe if they try hard enough, they could come up with other solutions to an unplanned pregnancy that don't include murder. So there are many, many sources, and I have them listed on my website. So many other sources that women can go to. I've worked with them closely, both locally and nationally, and there are other solutions. So,
Susanna, before we take our next caller, you mentioned the website. Give that website and contact information to our listeners.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, the website is just my first and last name. It's Susanna Lynn, SusannaLynn.com. And unfortunately, because of COVID, I have not been singing and speaking at women's events and pro-life events and conferences because everything was canceled. So I haven't really updated it, but in the next few weeks, because of January and this whole pro-life month, I will be updating it. And by the way, I would like to say, I'm so sorry, I was a little scattered with the dates, but I have the dates in front of me on my calendar. The third Sunday of January this year falls on the 17th, and that's the Sanctity of Life Sunday. That's this Sunday. And January 22nd is the National Sanctity of Human Life Day, as proclaimed by President Reagan in 1984. January 29th is the 48th annual National March for Life in Washington, D.C. So many of the churches, though, are celebrating either on the 17th or the 24th. Our church, I know, is celebrating on the 24th for National Sanctity of Life Sunday, just so it's in there within that proclaimed day of 22nd. It's usually the third Sunday of the month. But sometimes
Susanna,
they
hang
go
on just for a moment. I believe we have John on the line with a question or comment.
Perfect.
Hello?
Yes, John, go ahead with your question or comment.
Oh, yes. Dr. Youngblood, thank you for your ministry, and thank you, Ms. Lynn, for being on the show today. I have a little bit of a different perspective on things. I had four sons. The last son that we had was Andrew, and he was really a special child in that actually he had special needs. He was born with spina bifida. I was there for all four births, cut the umbilical cords, and with Andrew, when they were cleaning him off, they flicked him over in his stomach and they started cleaning off his back, and there was a small hole in the small of his back. And they wrapped him up in a blanket and said, here's your baby, bye. Next thing I know, I'm signing papers say, giving them authorization through surgery to close up the hole, because I figured, well, we'll just close it up and he'll be good. A couple of days later, we actually found out that he was born with spina bifida, and he had 15 surgeries the 10 years he was alive. But if we had known that there was something wrong with him before he was born, we would have never elected to deprive our son of an opportunity to live, even though it was only 10 years, even though he had 15 surgeries that the doctors tried to help him live as long as he possibly could. And I'd take him back in a heartbeat, even though realizing what the end result would be. So I guess my thing would be, it's not our choice. God create what actually happens with myself. My dad's name was John. My mom's name was Evelyn. God used John and Evelyn to create John Turner, who's on the phone now, so that God used us, my wife and myself, to create Andrew. And even though he only lived for 10 years, he had an awesome life. I learned tremendous things from Andrew. So it's just a little bit different perspective that even though he was special, all of us are really, but it's just that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I'm just amening what you're saying, brother.
Amen and amen.
How do you respond to that, Susanna?
Again, I bring that right back to God, because we had a similar situation here in town. A friend of mine had her daughter was pregnant, and they found out very early on she had a baby with trisomy. And it's basically a death sentence. When you're born with that, they said, well, the baby will probably only live days, possibly months. And the husband and wife, they decided, no, we're not going to abort it. That's not your decision or mine. And it was heartbreaking to know that she was carrying a baby that was going to die. But what happened is we just didn't know what God had planned. When she had the baby, she did live for 2 months, a little over 2 months. When that funeral happened, Pastor Ray Engerman plus three other preachers came to speak. It was amazing. And they had great sermons, and there was not a dry eye. It was a packed church. And within that day, people came to Christ. God reached down, and he saw that these people were repenting. And it was just such an amazing thing to see that this baby, with only 2 months of its life, made a change, that God used that little life. So we can't say what God is going to do in a millisecond of someone's life, let alone, you know, just deciding, well, we're not going to give it that opportunity. So this little baby, just like your son, this is such a beautiful, beautiful story of 10 years, and your child made changes in you and others around him. It's just a beautiful example of what God can do. Every life is precious. Every life.
And it's amazing how he actually has three things named after him. The Andrew Turner Memorial Track Meet, which didn't take place for the first time in 20 years because of COVID this year. And there's a wet lab that's named after him, and the Andrew Turner Sportsmanship Award. I have one thing named after me. I joke around. My first name is John, so there's a lot of restrooms around. So but it's just it's interesting how you can have somebody that only lived 10 years, but he actually impacted hundreds, if not thousands, of people. And the people actually came to us and asked us if they could name it. We didn't, proactively ask things like that. So so every life is important. God creates each one of us for a purpose.
So, yes, he does. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, John, for your call, for your testimony. God bless you for the decision that you made. And I know that God will bless those that have heard your testimony today. I'm looking at the scripture in Psalms 139, verse 14, where the scripture says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Thy soul knoweth right well. When God creates us, Susanna, created in the mother's womb, we're created in the image of God. God has a plan and purpose for every life. Man, humanity, man or woman, has no right to take that life, because the life is given by God and God only. Susanna, some Some have the statement that they have no other choice. What are some of the alternatives that you would recommend that's available for those that may be even considering abortion today that may be listening? What are the alternatives? Speak to that person that's listening today that needs to hear a word.
Oh, wonderful. Well, God has provided other alternatives, and it is estimated that over 2 million couples are waiting to adopt, including children of all races and special needs, and these are hard facts. So there is a couple out there that cannot have a child. So if you're thinking you can't have this child and raise it yourself, and you're absolutely sure, an adoption is a beautiful gift to give someone the gift of life. But to get help, there are churches. We have churches as well as local and national organizations to assist single mothers and couples who are in immediate need of food, diapers, infant supplies, education, for financial assistance, for education, to become more self-sufficient. I worked in a transitions program for 6 years. And while I was doing the English as a second language, I had that job as well. And they have pro bono lawyers to help them with even legal assistance. It's amazing. The opportunities for help to raise a child, it's just enormous. And people are really very unaware of them. I would go out and seek people in places that they would be going for help and brought them into the transitions program to kind of avail them of all these services. But the churches, that's why they call it a church family. Churches are the first place I would say go. They can help to give counsel and get them in the right direction. Like I said, local organizations, I have some information on my website. Again, I keep going back to that because there's just so much information. And people can email me as well.
Susanna, there's about 15 seconds left in the broadcast. Give that contact information again for our listeners. Website, any contact information for maybe churches listening, pastors listening that would like to have you come and speak. Give the contact information quickly for us.
Yes, sir. That's Susanna Lynn, SusannaLynn.com. And my email is info@SusannaLynn.com.
Susanna, thank you so much for speaking to our audience today. God bless you for what you're doing, and keep on keeping on. Never surrender the right to life that we need to stand for today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as, once again, we face the issues.
Half mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.